in the not so distant past. In the not so distant past, God's name was something that was taken extremely seriously. In the not so distant past, children said such statements as, "Yes, ma'am," and "No, sir." In the not so distant past, children, whether it be in class at school or in Bible class, would always raise their hands before it was time to speak. In the not so distant past, police officers were held in extremely high esteem in our society. In the not so distant past, older men and older women were deeply appreciated by the younger generation. In the not so distant past, officials, and especially our presidents, were referred to by their official titles. In the not so distant past, the flag of the United States was flown and was oftentimes saluted. In the not so distant past, the Bible was a book that was learned, that was memorized, and that was lived in the lives of men and women of this nation. But my friends, in more recent times, here's what we find. God's name is used loosely and often profanely. We find that children will tell their parents, "Why don't you just shut up?" We enter into the school systems and we find that oftentimes teachers have a very difficult time getting control of their classroom because of the behavior of those children who are in that classroom. In our society, police officers now are referred to as pigs and are brutally murdered by individuals. In our society, older men and older women oftentimes are laughed at by the younger generation. Our elected officials, even our presidents, are now referred to by their last names or their first names. Bush, Clinton, Obama, Trump, or maybe even Donald or Hillary. We find that the flag is now burned on a regular basis in the public square. And my friends, the Bible is referred to as that book which is old, worn out, and out of date. The title for our lesson today is the very question that I want to ask at this particular point, and it is this: where did respect go? It seems as though there is no longer any respect. No respect for authority. No respect for one another as citizens of the United States. No respect for those individuals who are in powerful positions. No respect sometimes even for brothers and sisters in Christ. Where did respect go? We're going to be looking at several points this morning. The first thing we want to do is to define the word respect. It's a very simple definition. In fact, we're going to be looking at two. The first one is this: esteem for or a sense of worth for an individual. Question: do all men deserve respect? And the answer to that question is yes. Folks, every human being is valuable. Every human being has an excellence attached to him. Why? Because he is made in the image and likeness of God. Another definition: deference to right, privilege, or privileged positions. You see, there are some positions throughout our land that are deserving of respect, watch this, regardless. When you turn to the Bible and you look up the word respect, here's something that you find. The word is found there 34 times in 34 different verses. Now you would think with just 34 verses that this idea of respect and doing a word study of respect would be something that is very, very simple, but it's not. And there's a reason for that. In the Bible, there are 8 different Hebrew words that are translated respect in our King James Version. Folks, that's a lot of words. There are also 8 different Greek words that are translated respect in the King James Version. If I'm going to do an adequate study of the word respect, I'm going to have to go look up the definitions and know all the nuances of 16 different Hebrew and Greek words. But you want to know what's interesting? That when you've done that study, the concept of respect as the Bible talks about it is a little bit different than the respect about which we are speaking in this particular lesson this morning. Let me show you a couple of passages. When you turn to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4, you have Abel bringing an offering of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Bible says this, "And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering." Notice the definition of that word respect. It literally means to gaze upon, to consider. Notice this next one. To hold in regard. When Abel came before God in order to bring his offering, it was a correct offering. It was a right offering. It was an acceptable offering. And God looked down from heaven upon that offering, and here's what he told Abel. "I accept your offering." In the very next verse he says this, "But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect." Folks, he would not even look upon it. It wasn't right. It wasn't acceptable. So see, sometimes the word respect in the Old Testament means to be acceptable, to be regarded. We turn to another illustration. It's found in Exodus chapter 2, verse 25. And the Bible talks about Israel. And God says this, and the text says this, "And God looked upon Israel, and God had respect unto them." The word respect in that passage is totally different from the one in Genesis 4, verse 4. It means this, to know, to recognize. In essence, what is happening is God looks down upon His children. They're in severe bondage. They're in agony. They're in pain. They're in hurt. And what does God do? God recognizes them as His children. He remembers the promises that He made, and He determines at that very moment that "I will deliver Israel." He recognizes them. He knows them. You see, it's a little bit different shade of meaning than what we're talking about in our lesson. And what's interesting, almost every word translated respect is that way in our Bibles. So some might say, "Well, Vic, how do we talk about respect then?" Here's the way we talk about respect. Folks, we talk about respect by looking at the word honor in the pages of our Bible. Because that's what we're talking about in this lesson. Honoring individuals. Looking at them and holding them in high regard. Isn't that what we're talking about? That's what's diminished from our society. And the Bible talks about many, many people who are to be honored. In fact, they are commanded to be honored. Let's look at a few of them. Parents. When God was there on Mount Sinai, He gave the children of Israel those 10 commandments, and one of them said this, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Children are exhorted to honor mom and dad. We turn just a little bit further in the book of Leviticus 19, verse 32, and the Bible says this, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man." God says those elderly individuals of society are to be honored. I find it interesting what He says in that first part, "Rise up before the hoary head. Folks, it's almost as if when the elderly walk into the room and you are seated, guess what you do? You rise up in honor of their presence among you. The kind of respect due the elderly generation. We continue in our study, and the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, verse 9, to honor God. But listen to how he says how to honor God. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruit of all thine increase. Today we're here to honor God, are we not? We'll be engaged in the five acts of worship, and one of those is our giving, folks. And in our giving, God looks down to see whether or not we are honoring Him. Has nothing to do with the preacher, has nothing to do with the elders, has nothing to do with any of that. It's all about who? It's all about God. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Here's an interesting passage. Jesus is talking about the prophets. And he makes this statement. We've heard it all of our lives. A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. When God sent forth the prophets into the world, guess what he demanded? He demanded that those men be respected for who they are. They are spokesmen for the Almighty God. In the Old Testament, those men were anointed to their office. And those men were to be held in high esteem by society. But Jesus says that's not true in their own country. Amazing, isn't it? Christians are to honor one another. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, the Bible says this, in honor, preferring one another. Folks, there's to be an honor that you and I practice between ourselves. The list goes on. Widows are to be honored. 1 Timothy 5 verse 3. Let the widows that are widows indeed be honored, the Bible says. We continue into 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Double honor. Folks, that's that honor that comes through our behavior and the language that we use. And the words that we use to address those individuals, but a double honor means they can also be paid for their positions. A double honor. Another verse. Masters were to be honored. Let as many as are servants under the yoke give honor to their masters. We continue in our study, and Peter says, honor all men, 1 Peter 2, verse 7. In that same verse, he says this, honor the king. And one chapter later, he talks to husbands and he says this, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Did you count them as we were going? 11 categories of people, folks, that the Bible tells us to do what to? To honor. 11. Now the question is this, what is the definition of this word honor in the pages of God's Word? And the definition is simple. To prize. To fix a value upon. Notice he goes on to say, to honor, to reverence, to venerate. You could take any of those words and replace them in those verses, and you would get the sense of what's being commanded. Children, prize your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children are to put a high value upon those individuals who God has given to raise them. A prophet is not without honor. He is not without veneration and esteem, save where? In his own country. Does that happen today? Sure. I go preach a gospel meeting somewhere, and guess what? Everybody loves you. But you got to come back home. And you ain't loved by everybody at home. Some people don't like you. Some people can't stand you. Some people wish you'd move and just go on. I'm serious. A prophet is not without honor, what? In his own country. And folks, those individuals need to have what? A value placed upon them. They need to be held in high esteem and regarded that way. We could go through that entire list, folks, and we could show that that's the definition of the word. Here's the key, though, to the lesson. Folks, there are some actions in which you and I are to engage that show we have respect for another human being. You see, it's not a matter of, oh yeah, I respect him. It's kind of like love. Love is more than just mouthing the words, isn't it? Love involves actions and behaviors and attitudes that we have toward those individuals. And the same is true with respect. And what we need to do is, we need to start from a young age, and we used to do this, and teach respect to those little ones. This is what respect looks like. This is what you do to show respect, and this is what you don't do to show respect. Let's look at the do's for a moment. Number one, listen to learn. Most of us listen to talk. I'm serious. We listen to talk. We don't even hear what the other person has to say. We let them say 3 or 4 or 5 words, and it's totally in contradiction to what we believe, and guess what? We got to talk again. Listen to learn what the other individual has to say and what they mean. Notice the second one. Value the person. Even individuals who are on death row at this time for heinous crimes should be valued for their life, folks. You know that as individuals, as human beings. Notice 3. Always address them with a reverent address. President Bush, President Clinton, President Obama, President Trump. Anything wrong with that? That's for sheer respect, folks. Notice 4, be sensitive to another individual. Every person that we come in contact with is at a different place in their life than we are. And we have no clue what's going on in their lives at that particular time. And so when we approach them, guess what? We need to be sensitive to those individuals, don't we? Notice the next one. Be courteous. Yesterday we were riding our bikes and everybody's got their headphones on, and we even got these little bells that we put on our bikes so if we ride out behind somebody you can hit the bell and they'll know you're behind them. Well, they can't hear you anymore because they got headphones on and music playing so loud they can't hear you. But yesterday I got right up on this little guy and I rang that bell. He looked around, he stepped off to the side, and I said, thank you. And you want to know what? I was shocked. I almost fell off my bike. He says, you're welcome. That's just sheer courtesy, isn't it? I was amazed. Folks, that's what we need in our society today. Courteous. Praise the good. Folks, there's always something in an individual that is good to be praised. I may not agree with an individual 100%. I may not always jive with a person as far as my personality is concerned. But guess what? There is good in that person most of the time. As far as I know, the devil is the only one who is 100% evil. Jesus said there is no truth in him, but that's not true of all human beings. Notice the next one. Be fair. Be fair. However I treat one, I want to try my best to treat another. Follow through. You make a promise to someone, follow through. If there's work that you're supposed to do for another person, follow through. Do what you say you're going to do. Notice the next one. Obey. Folks, there's some positions that you and I are in with other individuals, and guess what? If we don't obey them, it is disrespect. Just disrespect. And it doesn't matter how much you mouth the words that you honor them, if you disobey them, it is not showing respect. Compromise if possible. You know, there are times when you can compromise, can't you? Doesn't make a hill of beans difference to compromise. Notice this next one. Show a person you care about them. And then lastly, disagree, watch this, maturely. Maturely, like an adult. Now there's another list that we need to talk about, and that's the don'ts. If I'm really going to show respect, folks, don't insult another individual. If I'm really going to honor someone, don't make fun of the person. On Facebook, you see these different ads that are sometimes put up there. Maybe a child has been burned badly. Maybe an individual is somewhat deformed. Maybe they have some kind of a handicap that they've had for life. And guess what? These people have been made fun of all their lives, folks. Oftentimes for something that they could not have helped in any shape, form, or fashion. Sad, isn't it? You don't make fun of those kind of people. Respect those kind of people. Honor them. Don't play the hypocrite. Don't run up to their face and say one thing and then turn around and go to somebody else and say another thing. Don't love them here and hate them there. Don't play the hypocrite. That's not respectful. Don't show an attitude. That's an easy one, isn't it? You can be disrespectful and not say a thing, can't you? All you got to do is see it on their face. Mamas have seen it in their kids 1,000 times. Used to, that face would get slapped back into right shape, wouldn't it? Can't do that anymore. Don't you give me that face. It's not showing respect. Folks, don't flaunt your knowledge. Don't flaunt your power. Don't flaunt your abilities before others. That's disrespectful. I'm up here, you're down there, and I'll show you. That's disrespectful. Don't attack a person's character. You see, sometimes when we can't win the argument, we turn right around and what do? We want to attack the person instead. It's not showing respect. And lastly, disagree immaturely. Don't do that, folks. You know, I believe in the right for any human being to protest in the United States of America. But it is not right for individuals to riot and destroy property and to harm human beings and to put other individuals' lives in jeopardy, folks. That's wrong. That is an immature act. It doesn't need to be applauded. It doesn't need to be followed. It doesn't need to have anything done to it except being prosecuted is what it needs to be. It's disrespectful. Protest is fine. But what we're seeing sometimes in our society is disrespect, isn't it? And it's sad. I'm going to point you to an unbelievable illustration about respect. All of us know a man by the name of Jonathan, don't we? He was the son of Saul. That puts him in a position of what? Respect, doesn't he? That's my dad. I've got to respect him. Honor thy what? Honor thy father and thy mother. Secondly, Saul was what? Saul was the king. Uh-oh. Honor the king, Peter says, didn't he? 1 Peter 2:17. So now he has the responsibility of respecting this man from two standpoints. He is my dad, and number two, he is the king of this nation under which I live. Now here's the problem. There are a lot of reasons that Jonathan had not to respect his dad. A bunch. Now, folks, I haven't put all the passages here. I'm just briefly touching this illustration and playing on your knowledge. One of these days we'll come back to some of this. But here's some things that he had could have had no respect for him. Saul became a man of pride and arrogancy, did he not? There was a time when he was little in his own sight, but then he lifted himself up with pride and haughtiness before God. Notice secondly, he was a man who disobeyed God. There are at least two occasions recorded in Scripture where Saul blatantly went against the commands of the Almighty God. In fact, so badly that the kingdom was ripped from him because of his disobedience. Here's a third one. He sought the life of David. We all know who David was to Jonathan. David was his best friend. I'm friends with a lot of you. Somebody starts seeking after your life, guess what? It's going to be hard to have any kind of respect for that person, isn't it? Leave my friend alone. Another reason. He ridiculed the friendship of David and Jonathan, didn't he? Why are you friends to that guy? Don't you know that he's going to have the kingdom over you if you're not careful? He's going to steal it from you. And just ridicule the friendship. How about this one? This is even worse. He even tried to kill his own son with a spear. Now here's a person who's lifted up with pride, who's disobedient to God, who's tried to kill your best friend, who ridicules your friendship with your best friend, and has even sought your life. And guess what you would say? I ain't got no respect for that man. Wouldn't we? That's the way we would play it today. Not so with Jonathan. Folks, there's three or four things we can talk about. Notice one, he continued to serve in his father's army. And he served faithfully under his father as a soldier in that army. Notice the next one. He maturely interceded on behalf of David before his father, didn't he? He didn't agree with his father about David. And so what did he do? He walks in and he talks to his dad about him. What has David done? What's so bad about David? In fact, David is an asset to your kingdom. He's been a worthy warrior. Why are you seeking after his life? He interceded on David's behalf. But he maintained his respect for his father. And lastly, this young man was killed in battle on the exact same day that his father was slain in battle as well. He died on the battlefield with Dad. Jonathan didn't lose respect for his father. You see, Jonathan had not been trained in this myth that has been promulgated on our society. And the myth goes something like this: a person has to earn my respect. That's a myth, folks. That's something that mankind has developed in order to not respect someone. You see, there's a couple of questions that we need to ask, and one of them is this: who sets the standards? You? I'll respect you if you do this, if you do this, and if you do this, and if you do this, and if you don't do that, 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 and that. As long as you do all those things and don't do those other things, guess what? I'll respect you. So you become the standard of respect in the world. Wow. What about this next one? If that's the case, then just one little quibble means that you don't have to respect someone. Isn't that true? If I just have one little difference with that individual, I ain't respecting him. Why not? Because he won't buy red tennis shoes? Are you kidding? Folks, it's gotten to be just about that bad in our society today. If you don't act, and if you don't do, and if you don't say exactly what I want, guess what? I will not respect you. Is that what the Bible says? No. Folks, the Bible commands respect. In Proverbs 24:21, the Bible says this: my son, fear the Lord and the King. Wow. It's not an option. There's no ifs put on the end of it. He didn't put a period after Lord and leave the other out. He says, fear the Lord and the King. And I pray that every one of us are individuals of respect, that we've taught our children respect, and that we're going to teach our grandchildren what it means to respect another person. You see, we've moved a long way from respect in our society. Folks, our attitudes, our words, and our behaviors are what manifest respect for others. And just because I respect someone, and here's what we have to understand. Just because I respect someone doesn't mean that I agree with them. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I align myself with that individual. Remember Jonathan. He never agreed with his father about David. Never. But he always maintained respect for his dad and for his king. Always. Somewhere along the line, in our society, respect was kicked to the curb. And what's amazing is that it has been in my lifetime. That's the reason I said at the beginning of this lesson, in the not too distant past. Folks, I don't know about you, but my mom and dad, they were sticklers about respect. Sticklers. But now here's where we've come. We believe that we can act almost any way toward anybody that we want to, and that's okay. It's not okay. How do you know that, Dick? Because of what James says in James 3, 9 and 10. In James 3, James talks about the use of the tongue. And he makes this statement, therewith bless we God. Yeah, that's true, isn't it? We're here today to bless God. But then he goes on to say this, and therewith curse we man. And we'll do that. We'll leave the building, and boy, we'll have some words to say about some people in our society that aren't very respectful. Therewith bless we God, and therewith curse we man. And then he says this, which are made in the similitude of God. How do you do that? How do you hold God in such high esteem and not this man who is made in the image and likeness of God? How do you do that? He then goes on in verse 10 and says this, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. These things ought not so to be. Wow. That's not the way God designed His people anyway to be in their lives. Respect. We need a good dose of it in society today, don't we? My friend, the question that we really want to ask this morning, right now, for you is this. Do you really, really respect God? That's the key. If I respect God and I respect His will, then I'll yield to that will in obedience to it. If I haven't obeyed the gospel, I will through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in water for the forgiveness of sins. Because Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2, verse 38. Maybe you're an erring child of God. Your life hasn't been lived in generous respect for God and His commands, and you need to ask God to forgive you. Maybe there's some in this congregation who are just struggling and just need prayers. If you need to respond to this invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.